Sad moment to bring you aboard here, bud, but I knew how close that John Mack was to you and you to him. So my condolences on behalf of everyone here at Coast to Coast on this very tragic episode.
Well, I think it's a major loss, both on a personal level and for the field, because John was an extremely eloquent spokesman for the reality of the problem, of the issue, the abduction phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon, and a man of great intelligence and an enormous personal warmth. He's going to be really sorely missed by me, especially as a friend.
What energy he possessed, Bud. I did not know he was almost 75 years old.
Yep. He, one other interesting little thing, that fact is that John and I both attended Oberlin College. He graduated 2 years ahead of me. I just turned 73 myself. And so we were, although we didn't know each other at Oberlin, we didn't meet until 1990, and that's when a colleague of John's brought him to my studio in New York, and I began to show him some of the material about that abductees had presented to me in some of the cases, and he became immediately fascinated. And this is, of course, one of the great strengths of John's, that he was open-minded and curious. Every scientist should be all of the time. It should be kind of definition of a scientist, that he or she is open-minded and curious about, especially things that might be extremely important, new areas of knowledge. And John picked up on it instantly and went straight into it and never left it, and made some wonderful contributions in his books and in his working with so many people. But I just think that in, you know, his loss is such a sudden shock. I mean, there was no sign of illness or of slowing down of his energy, as you mentioned. He had just given a talk at a conference in, I believe, Oxford, and had come back to London and had gone to dinner with friends and taken the tube back to his hotel or where he was staying, and he got out and evidently stepped off the curb in a crosswalk area and was instantly hit and apparently almost instantly killed.
I just don't know what to say, too. You know, I've continued to monitor the work of you, of course, Bud, and John Mack, and you know, you're one of the pioneers here for this entire phenomenon of UFO abductions. But John Mack was a scientist, a doctor, who decided also to get involved, and you know, a Harvard professor. And when I saw those credentials involved in the study that you were undertaking years ago, I began to say, you know, finally, with people like Hopkins and Mack, maybe, just maybe, we'll get not only mainstream media to wake up, but maybe we'll really get to the bottom of this. And that's what's so sad about this. We're losing, and you're losing, a great arm and a great ally here.
That's right. And John, as I mentioned, as part of his just sparkling personality, had a great sense of humor. And at an early conference when John, on the abduction phenomenon, when John had first become involved, he described himself with a sort of a shrug looking around the room. He said, "I guess I'm currently the highest ranking prisoner of war in this whole field," meaning that he was the highest ranking in terms of credentials, individual who had left the conventional field of psychiatry and ventured out into this much more difficult and complex and looked down upon field, unfortunately, by the profession as UFO research. So he understood the risk he was taking, and he had serious problems at Harvard, and as many of us know, as a result of this.
Oh, no doubt. I'm told by some law enforcement officials that they have arrested someone in this case, and indeed this person was quite inebriated while he was driving his car.
Well, that's a horrible thing. I spoke today at length to a very, very good friend of John's and of mine, the psychohistorian Robert J. Lifton, and who's I'm currently speaking from my studio in Wellfleet and on Cape Cod, which is where Dr. Lifton stays. And he said that his last communication with John, which was just a few weeks ago, John was talking about how when he gets worried about a subject or an issue, he plunges in. And he said that John had become increasingly worried about the direction of the government, and had voluntarily gone to Maine. This was his last activity, apparently, in the United States, to work trying to register voters, poor, underprivileged people who had never had a chance to, for lots of reasons, to actually get to the polls and to vote. And John was going door to door working with people. Now, this is a man, as you said, almost 75, who is a man of great importance at his university and so forth, but going to Maine to enroll voters, hoping to change the regime here in the United States.
I'm sorry.
Just one sign of his leaping into a cause which he found to be of extraordinary importance.
Do you know if he was working on another book or anything like that? Perhaps.
Yes, George. And he and I had talked about this. I had spent time with him at the beginning of August at a meeting in Newport, and John was working on a book having to do, and this is in a strange way, it's an enormous irony, having to do with evidence suggesting the survival of consciousness after death, having nothing to do with the UFO field, but this was another area that had engaged his interest, and he was spending a great deal of time on this subject.